My name is Dmitry Soshnikov. I am technical evangelist at Microsoft, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to the course on creating virtual reality and augmented reality applications on Windows platform. So as you can probably guess, today we will talk about virtual reality. When you say virtual reality, typically people imagine some distant future when we would be able to be completely immersed in some worlds. And what comes normally to the mind is science fiction, such movies as Matrix, 13th Floor, and so on. In fact, in those movies, the idea of virtual reality has been introduced to many people. Not many people understand that virtual reality is actually very close and very affordable. Lately, with the introduction of such devices as cardboard VR, virtual reality is available to anyone who has a smartphone. Because the smartphone is quite a powerful device. It contains a lot of sensors which allow us to track its position in the space. And it contains a large screen which can be divided in two parts and can project the stereo image onto your eyes. And thus, putting this phone in the virtual reality helmet like the one displayed on the screen or this one can create a virtual reality headset, and everyone can experience virtual reality at virtually no cost. In this course, we will teach you how to create virtual reality applications. In fact, it's a very good time to start creating your own VR application because there are not very many applications like this in Windows Marketplace. In this first lecture, we'll talk about some history of virtual reality, some classifications of different types of reality augmentation, and we will tell you how to create your own VR helmet. Then we will cover some basic principles of creating VR applications like stereo vision and head tracking. If you want to start right away building something of your own, you can already move to the third module, where we'll cover creating VR applications in Unity using Alps VR plugin. Then we would also cover Fibrum SDK, which is much more powerful way to create your VR applications. Then we will talk about user interaction in virtual reality, because user interaction in virtual reality differs from traditional user interface that you use on the phone. Because the user is actually blind, he cannot see anything, so you need to adjust the interface of the game to some head movements or to some specific sensors, and we will talk about that. Then we will cover also the idea of augmented reality. And finally, we will finish with a module on creating high-performance virtual and augmented reality using DirectX and C++. In the course, you would see some demos. It would be very practical, and I hope it will really teach you how to create your applications, even though you may not be a professional game developer. So this course has been made together with our partners, 26 Dots, Fibrum, which is the company that makes the beautiful VR helmet which I have shown you previously, and the Fibrum SDK, VRR Lab, and Nival, the gaming company which also has the virtual reality division, and the company behind the game called InMind, which we will talk about later. So, let's start with some definitions and some history of VR. When we speak about VR, we actually can mean slightly different things, because in addition to VR, there are some very similar forms of augmenting our reality, which is augmented reality and the new concept of holographic computing introduced recently with by Microsoft. Let's talk about them in slightly more detail. So, what we typically mean by virtual reality is the complete substitution of the world around us by some artificial world. So, we are completely immersed in the computerized world. Such applications typically involve games, and the user in those scenarios are not really mobile, because you cannot see, you are blind, you cannot move around, and you sit or stand and play the game or experience this virtual reality. Another type of reality augmentation is called augmented reality, and augmented reality is about overlaying some images on top of the real picture. And scenarios for augmented reality are slightly different. It's mostly some notifications or some additional information which can make the real world around you better or more informative. And then there is also holographic computing, which was introduced recently by Microsoft with a device called HoloLens. Let's talk about those in more detail, and we will start with traditional virtual reality. The term virtual reality means some artificial world typically produced by computer, which is in which the user is immersed by providing artificial signals to user's senses. And as you know, there are five senses that the user can have, which is vision, hearing, touch, smell, and taste. And as far as the first two are concerned, there are really no problems affecting those senses. Like for vision, you need stereo glasses. For hearing, you need headphones. In terms of touch, it's slightly more complicated because you need some controllers which would provide you the feedback, the vibration feedback or something like that. As for smell and taste, it's not yet clear whether you can reproduce virtually any smell or any taste to the user. In the distant future, or maybe not so distant future, with the introduction of direct interfaces into your neural system, this might become possible. But right now it's not very practical. Now let's go back in time and speak about some history of virtual reality. The term virtual reality itself appeared as early as 1936 in relation to theater. Because when a person watches theatrical performance or a movie, he is actually immersed in a different kind of reality because he lives in a different world and he experiences different feelings. But this immersion is mostly done inside our brain because we are taken away by the story. And it's very easy to fall out of it just by looking away from the screen or from the scene. You can consider technologically some early form of stereoscopic machines to be also the early ancestors of virtual reality systems. However, in more traditional sense, the VR project started to appear in the middle of last century. For example, Sensorama was the early form of what we now call 3D, 4D, 5D, and so on movie theaters, where in addition to stereoscopic image, we receive some other sensory sensations, like some water drops, airflow, movements of our body, and so on, augmenting the vision by some additional senses. Commercial use of virtual reality started in 1966 with an AVR simulator used by US Air Force. And the first VR helmet appeared in 1968. It was far less comfortable than what we have today. It was the big device hanging from the ceiling. You can put it on your head. And inside it, you were able to see some very simple wireframe model of artificial place. But that was the first implementation of VR helmet. Also, projects that are worth mentioning are Aspen Movie Map, a project by MIT, in which they recreated the virtual walk along the city of Aspen, Colorado, in summer and in winter by taking a lot of photographs and then combining them to form something like a street view today. Also, this model included the 3D model of the city, some wireframe model, and thus it could be considered a virtual reality, providing a virtual tour of the city. But really, the progress inside the VR field started in 1985 with a company called VPL Research, which created two pioneering devices called iPhone, from human eye, and a virtual glove. And those two devices were meant to immerse user in the virtual reality, providing not only sensory substitution for the eyes, but also some ways to interact with virtual reality inside the computer. And after that, some commercial uses of VR started. For example, such systems as Nintendo Virtual Boy, which is shown here, or Sega Mega Drive appeared. Nintendo Virtual Boy, for example, was a helmet which you were able to put on your head together with some controller. And there were specific games developed for it, and it was sold as a consumer device for about $180. but it was completely unsuccessful with the consumers because the quality of VR imaging was not sufficient at that point in time. In fact, Nintendo Virtual Boy had as a display one line of LEDs, and by a special system of mirrors, this line was flashing in front of your eyes, creating 2D image. And definitely the quality of such image was not enough to provide comfortable experience for the user. And that's why Nintendo Virtual Boy was one of the biggest Nintendo failures in history. And those failures, they slowed down the development of VR field until recent time, 2010, when the device called Oculus Rift was created. Oculus Rift actually starts the new generation of VR devices, which are much more affordable and much more high quality than their ancestors. And after Oculus Rift, at some point Oculus Rift was acquired by Facebook, and now actually some devices which are similar to Oculus Rift have been announced, such as HTC Vive, and we are about to see a number of very high quality virtual reality devices. Another very important milestone in VR development was pioneered with a person called Duravis and Duravis Dive. Duravis Dive was a helmet which you can print using 3D printer, which is something you can easily do yourself and which is very, very affordable. So in fact, it's Duravis provided the 3D model of this device in public domain, so everyone could make his own VR helmet. And a few years later, a couple of engineers from Google announced Google Cardboard, which is even more affordable helmet which you can create from the cardboard, which actually brings virtual reality to almost any person who has a smartphone. There are two types of VR helmets. One of them are so-called stationary helmets like Oculus Rift and HTC Vive, and those helmets are typically connected to the computer, to the personal computer. And this allows them to provide much higher picture quality. It allows them to interface with many more sensors like Leap Motion, Kinect, and so on. And they account for much better user experience. But on the other hand, they are stationary. You need to use the computer to connect them to the computer, and you can only play PC games. Another types of helmets are mobile helmets, in which you can put your mobile phone. They have much less processing power. But on the other hand, modern phones have enough processing power and enough pixels to provide rather good quality of picture to the user. And there are different types of such helmets. You can, some of them are do-it-yourself type of kits, and some of them are commercial with much better quality. Now let's move to augmented reality. Augmented reality is slightly different. The main goal of augmented reality is to add some additional value to the reality around you. And one of the devices in this category is famous Google Glass. Google Glass is basically glasses which provide an additional notification screen in front of you. So the idea is that you would wear those glasses almost entirely through your day, and it would provide you some notifications and some information, thus enriching your experience. Such a device did not become popular up to this point because of some discrepancy in price tag and user expectations. So it's only used by very enthusiastic people, enthusiasts and early pioneers. But even though the device is a few years old, it's still not widely used. Another device in this category is Epson Moveria, which are stereographic glasses which you wear on both of your eyes, but these provide the transparent see-through experience, revealing the actual picture behind them. The main use point for those glasses would be displaying some stereographic images in front of you while still leaving you with the picture of reality around you. It's like the stereographic objects being in front of you, but they are not connected in any way to the reality because it's still basically a large and beautiful notification screen. Epson Moveria is also notable because they have the specific controller which you can use to control this VR experience. It's similar to touchpad of notebooks, It's a device which you can hold in your hand, and sliding a finger, you can control what you see inside the glasses. But those are quite rare devices, and they are not widely used. But there is another aspect of augmented reality, which is used on smartphones. Since every smartphone has a camera, you can point this camera to some objects around you and have computer overlays appear showing you some additional information about this world. For example, you can see the City Lens application, which shows you the information about the objects, points of interest in your vicinity. And it's quite useful scenario because you can point this phone in different directions and see in which direction you should go to reach the desired destination. Another useful scenario of augmented reality is which is used at some exhibitions, is using some augmented form of trigger objects. For example, you can place a QR code-like object anywhere in the room, and by pointing the phone to this object, the phone would recognize it and render some 3D model above it. And it can be a very exciting way to present you some more details about some installation or to present you some more information about different objects at the exhibition. And that's why this form of augmented reality is quite often used nowadays. And we will cover specifically this form of augmented reality in our course briefly. Finally, the most modern way of interfacing between augmented and virtual reality are holograms and Microsoft HoloLens. It's a completely different experience, and if you have not seen the video with HoloLens, I highly encourage you to go to hololens.com and experience this video for yourself. The main difference between HoloLens and other types of virtual reality that I described earlier is that HoloLens contains 3D cameras inside it, which allows it to see the surfaces around him. So HoloLens knows the 3D model of the space around you, and it allows you to place virtual objects right on top of the environment. For example, if you are sitting in front of the table with the HoloLens, you can place virtual objects right on the table, and they would stay there. Whether you move around, rotate your head, the object would be connected to this table. So in order to make this possible, you not only need 3D sensors, you also need high power processing units. And that's why HoloLens contains specific holographic processing unit, which allows rendering this type of information in real time without delays. So HoloLens would actually create the new form of interaction between user and environment. And it would make possible completely new ways of interfacing the computer and new types of applications. And that's the future of virtual and augmented reality, which we see now, and we hope it would be with us quite soon. Another interesting project in this field is Microsoft Research Room Alive. Room Alive shows that you do not always need a helmet, you do not always need some glasses. You can project virtual reality and augmented reality right on top of the environment around you. Virtual Room Alive actually consists of a series of projectors which you can put in the room, and those projectors would basically illuminate all walls and floor of the room. And also, this room would be equipped with a number of Kinect 2 sensors, which would scan the surfaces and create the 3D model of the room. And this would allow us to project images right on top of of objects, creating virtual reality around you. And it would also allow you to interact with this reality by using touch or by using specific devices which you can point and shoot and so on. You can find more about Room Alive project at the address provided below, including some videos and even some sample code which you can try to run if you wish to create this Room Alive in your own house, for example. But I have to warn you that you would need a lot of equipment, 3+ Kinect 2 sensors and equipped with notebooks, specific server and full HD projectors. So it's not an easy task, but it's a very interesting project which can change the way we interact with the world around us in the future. So what I want you to take away from this first module is that virtual reality is much more close than we think. Virtual reality is already here, and it's very affordable. And it's quite easy. We will show you that it's very easy to create virtual reality applications on your smartphone. And at the moment, there are not many applications like that on the marketplace. And that's why it's a very good time to start. Listen to this course. Go on, create your own applications, put them on the marketplace, and the world would become better. See you in the next module. Bye-bye.